Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, August 25th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwean police have arrested Bishop Anselmo Magaya and several other people.
If it is a religious organization, it does not have to meet the rigmaroles of POSA. They simply have to demonstrate with or without notice.
Police order political parties to stage a sanctioned protest tomorrow only outside Harare City Center.
We call upon all the people of Zimbabwe to come out in their numbers so that we make a loud national expression to demand comprehensive electoral reforms.
And MDCT Vice President Nelson Chamisa speaks out on his controversial appointment.
It is an honor. It is also a privilege that there is a sense of confidence, a sense of assurance that it is possible for young people to be given responsibility.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Police in Harare today arrested the leader of the Divine Destiny Network, Bishop Anselmo Magaya, and several other people following an attempt to stage a demonstration that was crushed by law enforcing agents. Thomas Chiripasi reports.
Heavily armed police thronged the venue where Bishop Magaya and members of the Divine Destiny were intending to gather for the protest. By the time the would-be protesters arrived at the corner of Julius Nyerere and Jason Moyo roads for the demonstration, police were chasing away everyone in their sight from that venue. When Bishop Magaya and five others emerged at the corner of Nelson Mandela and Julius Nyerere roads, holding a banner demanding an address of the country's problems, the police immediately arrested them and bundled them into a police truck that was on standby. Newsday journalist Obey Manaiti and freelance reporter Robert Chafumanei, who were covering the protest, were briefly detained by the police. They were released with no charges. At the time of going on air, it could not be ascertained whether Bishop Magaya and his co-accused had been formally charged. Police spokesperson Cherith Charamba said she could not comment because she was yet to be briefed about the case. Studio 7 could not manage to speak to members of Magaya's Divine Destiny Network. Some opposition parties have condemned the arrest of Bishop Magaya, saying demonstrations were provided for under Zimbabwe's new national constitution. Jealous Mawarire, spokesperson of the Zimbabwe People First Party, led by Joyce Mujuru, said the police must exercise restraint when dealing with church organizations.
It's quite untenable, very unfortunate. In fact, it is a very antithesis of the work that the police should be doing. They should be protecting the citizens, not endangering. And as a party, we've been very clear about that. We are agitating for peaceful demonstrations. And when we are saying peaceful demonstrations, it's not only the demonstrators that are supposed to restrain themselves, but also the security agents are supposed to restrain themselves, not provoke the peaceful demonstrators and provide security. They are the ones that are trained to handle such crowds. And we really expect them to be doing that, not to be provoking peaceful demonstrators so that they become violent.
Mawarire sentiments were echoed by Douglas Mwonzora, General Secretary of the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai.
If it is a religious organization, it does not have to meet the rigmaroles of POSA. They simply have to demonstrate with or without notice. So the fact that they've been arrested means that this state is cracking down on anyone.
Bishop Magaya and his colleagues wanted to demonstrate against what his organization called President Mugabe's misrule, police brutality, and the worsening economic situation in the country. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
All is set for an opposition political party's demonstration tomorrow in Zimbabwe to press for comprehensive electoral reforms before the 2018 general polls, despite police to move to confine the protest to outsides of Harare Central Business District. Reporter Ivan Chifera has the details from the country's capital city.
Convener of the political parties under the National Electoral Reform Agenda, or NERA, Didmus Mutasa of the Zimbabwe People First Party, told journalists the march to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission will go ahead as planned. Mutasa, who was flanked by some NERA principals, former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai of MDCT and Jacob Ngarivume of Transform Zimbabwe, said the march will culminate with the handing of the petition to ZEC and an address by NERA leaders at the electoral body's headquarters.
We call upon all the people of Zimbabwe to come out in their numbers so that we make a loud national expression to demand comprehensive electoral reforms that will ensure that we move away from the culture of contested electoral outcomes.
He said opposition political parties had realized that at the center of the current national problems facing Zimbabwe was a crisis of legitimacy, hence the demand for electoral reforms and a clear roadmap to the next election. He said the parties want the Southern African Development Community to support Zimbabweans in their demand for free and fair elections.
We are also calling on SADC, specifically the current chair of SADC, to remain seized with the issue of Zimbabwe and to ensure that the electoral field in this country is leveled ahead of the next election. SADC must remain seized with the issue of Zimbabwe, where the current unraveling economic crisis is just but a mirror of the underlying political crisis of legitimacy.
Though the political parties have complied with the legal requirement of notifying the police about the march, police said with an expected crowd of 150,000 people, they were discouraging the parties from marching in the Harare city center. The police claimed that the protesters would disrupt human and road traffic. Despite those concerns, police officer commanding Harare Central District, Chief Superintendent Newbert Saunyama, said the parties could go ahead with their move to hand over the petition to ZEC. But chairman of the NERA legal team, Douglas Monzora, said it was surprising that police were concerned about an expected 150,000 people for the march when ZANU-PF had held its so-called 1 million men march in the city a few months ago. As a result, Monzora said they've approached the courts to make sure police do not interfere with their march.
The police are not saying in this letter that they are afraid of violence, they are afraid of any illegality, that they do not have manpower. They are not saying that. They are simply saying the figure is too much. But a few weeks ago, we had a million men march, which was allowed by the same police. This is only 150,000.
Opposition parties worry that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is failing in its constitutional mandate to register voters and administer elections. They also accuse it of bias in favor of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Nelson Chamisa, one of the newly appointed deputy vice presidents of the MDCT, says he is elated to be given the honor to re-energize his party ahead of the 2018 general elections. Chamisa says despite the controversy that surrounded his appointment and that of Elias Mudzuri, who joined Tokozani Kupe to deputize Morgan Tsvangirai, everything was done above board. The MDCT had to make the necessary constitutional provisions after his appointment to make him a substantive vice president of the party. Chamisa becomes one of the youngest people to take up such a high-powered post in the country. He tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawie the controversy did not faze him and he is ready to take up his new role with the other deputies.
It is an honor. It is also privilege, that there's a sense of confidence, a sense of assurance that it is possible for young people to be given responsibility. As you may know, throughout history, since time immemorial, young people have always been at the forefront of defining the agenda and mission of any nation or any society. The liberation struggle itself was fought by the young people. You look at the young Mugabe, not the old one. The old one is disappointing, but the young one was very progressive. So I feel that as young people, we have been given a responsibility. It is an opportunity. It's a call to action to make a difference, to make sure that we bring back a great and beautiful Zimbabwe once more.
What do you think really resonated with Mr. Tsvangirai for him to pick you as his deputy ahead of everybody else that is in the party?
You may remember that in terms of our party, looking at service, looking at where we started, I started this project and this journey together with President Tsvangirai when I was the Secretary General of the Students' Union, way back in 1998. We have not at any given point in time engaged in reverse gear. It has always been in the forward gear. It has been a tough journey. We have made some mistakes, yes. We have made some errors, but we are committed. One thing we are sure Zimbabweans we have is commitment, genuineness, and that honest heart to serve. It's also the history. It's also the journey we have so far, you know, traversed. We have come a long way, and we remain on that path. We remain on that course. So I think it's also a question of youthfulness, but also upon the foundation of seniority.
That was MDCT Vice President Nelson Chamisa speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawiye from Harare. Most farmers in Mashonaland West say they are ill-prepared for the 2016-2017 agricultural season, noting that some of them have not yet been paid for the produce delivered last year to the state-controlled grain marketing board. Some of them say they don't even have agricultural inputs. Reporter Arthur Chigoriwa has more details.
One of the farmers, Monashe Mujeri, said most of the farmers do not have funds for the 2016-2017 agricultural season as they were not paid for delivering maize, sorghum and other products to the GMB.
I won't say the farmers are prepared for the season. They are not getting enough support from the government, from whoever should support the farmers. Because why I say so? As I speak, from where I come from, there's not even one farmer who has got anything, any inputs in place right now.
Another farmer, Clifford Kupeko, said some farmers lost their implements to financial institutions for failing to service bank loans.
80%, if I'm not mistaken, of the farmers that had access to loans, had their machineries, equipment attached by the deputy sheriff, and they are being disempowered. So for us to say we are going into farming in such a scenario without government intervening and the authority intervening, it's a pipe dream.
Zimbabwe Farmers Union President Abdul Credit Nyati added that his organization has appealed for credits in the form of maize seed and fertilizer from companies producing agricultural inputs.
We are also discussing as a union now with our players, industry players, like the fertilizer people, the seed people. And as I speak right now, we are coming from a meeting. They have agreed that they are now prepared. Fertilizer is almost enough that of what that we need. And the seed is almost enough of what we need. So we are now working the matrix of saying how will it be distributed to be nearer to the farmers. Yes, there are also challenges that cost of transporting, which would raise the prices of, but we're negotiating to say how best can we really bring it to the ability of the farmer.
But Mr. Mujeri said inputs from such companies are too expensive and make farming business unprofitable.
They don't care. If you are given inputs worth, say, about $1,000, you'll have to pay back more than $1,000. So that doesn't make any sense. Suppose you are disturbed by something else like this year, affected by drought. Then somebody is saying, I gave you inputs worth about $1,200, $1,500. The provider is looking for that money, and that he knows very well Oh, that organization knows very well that there's drought. People were affected by drought, so we won't get anywhere.
Nyathi noted that due to climate change, his union has embarked on an educational drive, urging farmers to plow early and late crops and to cultivate drought-tolerant crops like sorghum and millet.
The major thing we are doing as a union is to educate our farmers first that drought is now here to stay. We treat drought as something that has come and is never going to go because of climate change that has been seen scientifically all over the world. However, in Zimbabwe, we are saying the purpose of educating is part and parcel of putting a state of preparedness for the farmer. Once the farmer knows that I can be working here and there shall be no rain, therefore, what must I do?
Kupeko said unions are not doing enough to protect farmers from unscrupulous financial institutions that are confiscating their farm implements. Kupeko said farmers' organizations should engage the government on reviewing producer prices to cushion farmers from high agricultural input costs.
The unions are not doing enough. They are not doing enough in terms of representing the farmers, which are their members. So if you look at how farmers are having their items attached and stuff like that, how farmers are also failing to access funding, that can not engage the government to say, look here, for the farmers to be productive, we need protection. Because if you look even in SADC, I'll give you an example of countries like Malawi. Why Malawi has become also a bread basket of southern region just from Norway. It's because of the intervention of the government itself. So the farmers cannot do it alone without the assistance of the government whatsoever.
But farming analysts said for farmers to produce enough to feed the nation, government should subsidize the inputs like what other countries like Zambia and Malawi are doing. A 50-kilogram bag of fertilizer that costs $35 in Chinoy is selling for $7 in Zambia. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Regional state agricultural extension workers refused to comment and refailed all questions to Agriculture Minister Joseph Made, who was said to be attending some meetings in Harare today.
We have an important programming change announcement. Effective Monday, August 29th, 2016, Studio 7 will stop its English program. However, English news on Zimbabwe will continue to be broadcast on VOA's English to Africa programs, Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday, and Nightline Africa, Saturday and Sunday. Studio 7 will continue programming in English on Live Talk, which has been expanded to 1 full hour. You will also be able to get Zimbabwe news on our website and Facebook. We will continue broadcasting in Shona and Ndebele Monday through Friday and on Saturday and Sunday, where we have expanded Shona and Ndebele programs to 30 minutes. For broadcast times and frequencies, please visit our website www.voazimbabwe.com. That's www.voazimbabwe.com.
Coming up, a closer look at public protests in Zimbabwe. But first, a look at regional and international news. Already suffering from the earthquake that shook the area yesterday, a strong 4.3 magnitude aftershock hit the town of Amatrice in central Italy. The United Nations Refugee Agency says Somali refugees in Kenya are leaving the country due to threats and pressure from security officials. The longest-running armed conflict in the Western Hemisphere appears to be coming to a close as the Colombian government reached a historic peace accord with rebel leaders Wednesday in Cuba. And Ugandan opposition leader Kizza Besigye is urging the country's diaspora to continue to push for democracy in Uganda. Itai Dzamara disappeared 17 months ago when his protest movement Occupy Africa Unity Square urged President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to run the country properly. similar protests demanding the president's exit and for government to tackle serious issues affecting the nation have been staged by Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign, Pastor Evan Mawari's hashtag This Flag campaign, hashtag This Gown, and several others. Church leaders and their followers today protested in Harare, demanding that government should address the current harsh social and economic situation in the country. Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign is staging at the end of this month what is calling, quote, the mother of all protests to demand the resignation of President Mugabe, end quote. But what has been the impact of these protests in bringing social, economic and political transformation in Zimbabwe? For Perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma and Tabitha Kumalo, an MDCT legislator. Kumalo says the protests are the only way to transforming Zimbabwe.
People have decided to show that by demonstrating, because the suffering that the people of Zimbabwe are going through is beyond anybody's capabilities.
So, Honorable Chuma, do you think that ZANU-PF is feeling the impact of these kind of protests?
This whole thing is wayward. What is a demonstration about a system that has failed or a system that is failing got to do with looting a supermarket and burning vehicles? This is a clear sign of an act of thuggery. People that are just thugs, people who are directionless, who don't know what they're doing. If you want to do a demonstration, I know that you can do a peaceful demonstration and over a petition. But if you start to burn vehicles, if you start to loot shops, what statement are you sending, really?
Honorable Kumalo, I think you can hear clearly Honorable Chuma saying, there's a problem here, you know, looting and burning is not the issue here.
No. Honorable Chuma is not being sincere. As members of parliament for the MDCT, Honorable Chamisa tried to move a motion on the police brutality, on the people that are having peaceful demonstrations. Chuma is one of the people that denied that motion to go through parliament so that we can have a solution on the issue, on the police brutality on people. Because most of these things are happening, they are being caused by the police who are beating up and tear-gassing peaceful demonstrating Zimbabweans. I am one of the victims of the police brutality. Sitting in my office at Harvest House, the police decided to throw tear gas into an office. Surely, any normal person is going to be triggered by such behavior. Police have no respect for people's rights in Zimbabwe. So they are the causers of those commotions.
Honorable Chuma, the police are problematic, according to Honorable Kumalo. But at the end of the day, you know, the issue really is around the way Zimbabwe is going. Zimbabwe is going the wrong way, Honorable Chuma, right?
Zimbabwe is going the wrong way because of people who are not sincere about Zimbabwe. People who demonize Zimbabwe instead of helping it to go up and grow. If we only put our efforts, concerted efforts, to grow in Zimbabwe, we can grow it. But if you are going to go and stand there and demonize it and close people to come in and invest in Zimbabwe, how are we going to grow, honestly speaking? So it's a matter of, when you're pointing one finger at yourself, remember there are three fingers practically pointing back at you to question you and your integrity as well towards whatever you're pointing for. So the problem is that we are not being sincere about Zimbabwe as our country. We've got some other agendas in our mind. But if we were to come together and say, let us grow Zimbabwe together, we will grow it. We are not failures if we put our minds together in Zimbabwe.
Honorable Kumalo, where are these demos going? You know, like what Honorable Chuma was saying, you know, burning, looting and all those kind of things. But where are they going, really?
How do we put our minds together when people like Honorable Chuma are the people that are refusing that as legislators of this country, we sit in that parliament and correct the wrongs that are taking place? People like Honorable Chuma and ZANU-PF are refusing to listen to what the people are saying. These demonstrations, they started very small after the disappearance of Zamara. They decided not to listen to what Zamara was saying. This is what they did. They kidnapped him and killed him. So how then do they expect people to do when they don't want to listen? How then do they expect people to put their heads together when they don't want to listen to what the people are saying? ZANU-PF and the Honorable Chuma, you are no longer listening to the people, you are listening to yourself. And as long as you are listening to yourself, people are going to react. If you put a person in a corner, they will always find a way to get out.
And Honorable Chuma, we see that pastors were protesting today. Some individuals have done that. that. Civic society groups have been doing it. And NERA tomorrow, they are actually protesting too. So these protests actually point to a very serious problem in Zimbabwe. So at the end of the day, is there any way that protesters, these grievances can be addressed?
Yes, grievances should be addressed and they must be addressed. And I think government insists in trying to address them and explaining things to people to make sure that people understand these things. But the problem that we have is that we've got the MDC there blaming us for everything that happens in Zimbabwe. Now they're even blaming us for Itai Dzamara. But look, the honest truth is that there are people who were stronger than Itai Dzamara, who did worse than Itai Dzamara, and they're still there, including Honorable Thabita Khumalo herself. She knows what she's been capable of doing and what she's been doing, but she's never disappeared. But Itai Dzamara, somebody who's not even known, I never knew about Itai Dzamara until the time when you were said to have disappeared. How and why would we be charged for making his disappearance happen? For a person called Itai Dzamara, why not Thabita Khumalo? Why not Morgan Tsvangirai? Why not Job Sikala? Why not Tendai Biti? Why not people that really matter, who have really caused shivers down our spine, but they are still here? And then we talk about Itai. Come on, let's be honest. Let's not blame everything on ZANU-PF. Even now, when the rains don't come, they'll say it's ZANU-PF. When there's a cold spell, it's ZANU-PF. Are we being fair, really?
Honorable Khumalo, you know, lastly, will these protests actually, you know, bring some kind of social and economic transformation in Zimbabwe?
Whether it's going to bring a transformation or not, but people, the Zimbabweans are sending a message to Honorable Chuma and ZANU-PF to say they are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They want the government to give them the 2.2 million jobs that they promised.
And that was MDCT legislator Thabita Khumalo. You also heard from ZANU-PF legislator Joseph Chuma. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chione Sojani, and I am your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today with me is Nyaradzo Mashayamombe, founder of Tally. And today we're going to be talking about the rights of rape victims.
So thank you for having me. Hello, Zimbabwe. Okay, so when we're looking at rape victims, we are saying that they have the right to be protected by the law. They have the right to be protected from further harassment. They have the right to be understood and to be believed. They have the right or not to be further emotionally abused.
I know you're an expert in terms of dealing with a lot of rape issues. How can you tell your story, especially when dealing with someone very close or someone you trusted and someone in authority?
I think what we need as a Zimbabwean culture is to remove this over-authority that we give to those in power. Sometimes because we give too much power to these people in power, we should make sure that the power has a healthy boundaries.
Can you share with us procedures in which a rape victim must follow after being raped?
Do not wash your body. Do not tamp around with what has happened. Immediately report the case to the police.
Thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And that was Nyari Mashayamombe, founder of Tally, and I am Chioniso Jani. Time to engage.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today. Host of the Women's Roundtable, Marvelous Mhlanganyawi and Praxidis Jeremiah, will be talking with listeners about rape cases in Zimbabwe. If you wish to join the show, please call us at 001-202-619-2077. The number again, 001-202-619-2077. Now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwean police have arrested Bishop Anselmo Magaya and several other people. Police order political parties to stage a sanctioned protest tomorrow only outside Harare City Center. And MDCT Vice President Nelson Chamisa says he's ready to lead his party to the crucial 2018 general elections. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington, D.C.